Missions Month, we have Dan Souza. It's been a while for those who have been in the church a long time since we've had Dan come on down, and we're just thrilled. He's been sharing with me. He's going on 71, or on 71. He's on 71, and pressing forward, thrilled, seeing what God is doing. Things are not leveling off. They're just continuing to press on. And it's encouraging to see those pressing on for the Lord, not retiring on, but just continuing what God's got for them. So before Dan comes up, I'd like to open us in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you that you have worked in Dan in such a way to encourage him, press him on. Lord, use him, continue using him, God, for your glory. Lord, I pray this morning that we came here prepared, Lord, our hearts and our minds, for what you have for today. Lord, that we would look into the mirror of your word and get clean what we need to get clean, get right with you, Father. And Lord, I just pray that there be anything new, Lord, that we wouldn't walk out of here the same. And we just pray for your hand upon Dan this morning as he shares your word, Father, and your work that you are doing. Lord, just allow him to speak your words this morning. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name, amen.
Yeah.
We have one up there, but the pastor never paid attention to it.
Oh, I like him. Yes, okay. Well, good morning! Isn't it great being in the house of the Lord? No better place to be in the world Sunday morning than to be among God's people in the house of worship with Him. We're going to have our Bible lesson this morning. Before I start, though, let me just say how much I really appreciate. It'll be Exodus 13, by the way. Appreciate the faithfulness that you folks have shown unto us over the years. You've enabled us so many times to minister in churches. I had a pastor call me, and he says, Brother Souza, we really need to have some special meetings, revival meetings. And he said, but honestly, we just can't afford you. And I said, you don't even know how much I cost. You know, and he says, well, you know, we want to do. I said, listen, I said, finances are never a problem. I said, I do have some churches that recognize the need of small, struggling churches. I'm talking about people, 10, 12, 15 people maximum in the group, including children sometimes. And every month they're very faithful in their support. That enables me to travel, pay the expenses of travel, and what other expenses that I have. And you're one of those folks. And he says, there are churches that do that for us? I said, yes, exactly. So you have ministered to churches all around America and probably didn't even know it. And we're very, very thankful for you, and we love you. And it's such a joy to be back again. I tell you, I just feel so excited today. We're going to take our Bible lesson from Exodus chapter 13. If you're there, I'm sure you are. And we're going to look at something here. And I realize that nothing in life ever happens without a purpose. There's always a reason. We don't always understand it. I know sometimes we'll go out and we'll see a flat tire on a car and we'll say, now why did that happen? Well, obviously you ran over something, put a hole in it, and the air come out. But there's always a reason. And the same thing is true about the lives of the people in the Bible. God put experiences of his people in the Bible that we can learn from them. And there are some lessons we need to learn from. Now, there's two ways you can learn lessons in life. You can learn it directly. For instance, Mama says, stove is hot. Don't touch. You learned. Right. You learn, that's the hard way to learn, by experience. Or you can learn by somebody else's experience. And you say, your little brother or sister touch a stove, get a blister because they touched something else. So you learned a lesson. I'm not going to do that. That's the best way to learn. But unfortunately, that's not always the way that we approach life. Now, in Exodus chapter number 13, Israel has been redeemed by the blood. You will recall they were slaves in Egypt land. They prayed for God to deliver them. God rose up Moses. Moses went to Pharaoh, says, "The Lord says, let my people go." Pharaoh says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Well, he was dealing with God. And you know the account. God sent the plagues. His heart was hardened until the plague, the tenth plague, the death of the firstborn. And God said to his people, "Tonight I'm going to pass over the land. I want you to get a lamb, a perfect lamb without spot, without blemish, signifying, I believe, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. And I want you to slay that lamb. And I want you to take the blood of that lamb as a sacrifice and put it on the side of the door and across the top." And God says, "When I pass over the land that night and I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will accept the death of that substitutionary lamb in the place of the death of the firstborn male of man and of beast." And so it was. Now Pharaoh's heart finally was broken and he let God's people go. But you know, as they were traveling, I want you to notice here in verse number 17 of Exodus 13, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return into Egypt." Now, I want you to notice something here. They're on their way out of bondage. Now, usually, if you're going from one point to the other point, and we have learned the shortest distance between two points is what? Straight line, right? Now, if you look at where they were, and you look at where they were going to go, it would have been a straight line right to the land of the Philistines. But notice the Bible says here that God led them. That's a key phrase. That God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. That was the most convenient way. That was the shortest way. And in the eyes of man, it seemed to be the best way. Now, I have learned that sometimes I think I know a better way than my GPS. Sometimes I'm right, and sometimes I'm wrong. And sometimes I thought, well, I know a shortcut, and then we've all taken those shortcuts. We've all fallen into that. But God said, that's the easiest way, that's the shortest way, but that's not the way I'm going to bring you. Have you ever wondered why? I said, why do things come so hard to me? We look at other people and say, they have such an easy way of handling this. For me, everything's hard. Everything's a struggle. It seems like if whatever I do is difficult and nothing comes easy for me. That might have been how they felt. Why isn't God giving us the easy way? And he gives us the reasons here. And he says, lest peradventure the people repent when they see, well, remember, they were just redeemed. They had no army. They had no weapons. They had nothing except a free spirit and some cattle and sheep and their family. They weren't ready for battle, and God knew that. And God says, I'm going to have you avoid that battle with the Philistines. Now, later on, they're going to meet the Philistines, and they're going to whip them. I'm going to whip them really bad. Matter of fact, one little shepherd boy is going to do a job on a giant. And going to bring them down. But God says, you're not ready for that yet. You know, that reminds me and reminds you of a New Testament verse that God doesn't bring anything into our life that we can't handle. He will not tempt you above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. That tells me that no matter what happens in my life, God can handle it. Now, sometimes I know that down here, but I have a hard time translating that. Have you ever said, God, I can't take one more thing? Have you ever said, oh, if one more thing goes wrong today, that's it. I'm going to break. I can't take another problem. And God says, sure you can. Watch. But God knows that they weren't ready for that battle yet. And God's not going to bring anything into your life that you and God cannot handle, primarily God. In our church, we have a little coffee time before church, and I saw a little sign in Hobby Lobby, and I bought it, and I put it by the coffee pot, and it kind of reflects something in my life, and it says, all I need today is a little bit of coffee and a whole lot of Jesus. Yeah, and every time I think, yep, that's exactly what I need, you know. I need a whole lot of Jesus in my life. And so God said, I'm not going to bring you that way. Now, the key is, in verse 18, but God led the people through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. There's a word. God led the people. Who is leading your life? Really? Who makes your decision? You say, well, I'm going to get on paper. I'm going to calculate this and calculate that and figure everything out. And then I'm going to make a decision. Well, that's well and fine. But you ever ask God about that? Sometimes we make plans. And we get our plans all done. We say, now, Lord, these are our plans. Bless these, our plans that we have made. You know, that's kind of backwards. What we ought to say, God, give us your plan. And when we have God's plan, they're automatically blessed by the Lord. But we want God to bless our plans instead of us asking him to give us his plans. But I want to center our thought. Now, that's just introduction. Because I really want to center our thoughts on the way that God led them. The way that God led them is very unique. Now, the Bible says here, in verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God's people said, well, here we are in the wilderness. No maps, no guide, no roads, no GPS. I mean, nothing. How do we know where to go? God says, I'm going to give you a sign. In the daytime, when you can say there's going to be a cloud. Now, I know there's a lot of clouds in the sky, but there had to be something unique and different about this cloud. And God said, I'm going to give you a cloud. And you follow that cloud in the daytime. But sometime you're going to travel at night. And when you travel at night, you won't be able to see the cloud on a moonless night, for sure. And so God said, I'm going to put a pillar of fire in the sky, and you follow that lighted pillar of sky. There was always direction. Daytime, nighttime, God was always there. God was always directing them. God always had a plan for them. And so it's true in our life as well. God always has a plan for us during the bright times and during the dark times. But he never forsakes leading us. But I want to center our thoughts on how he led them with the cloud. We won't look at the fire. Maybe we'll do that another time, but certainly not today. Because we're going to look at the cloud. There's a lot in that, in the scriptures, in God leading them, that I think we can learn from our life. A cloud. There are three beautiful truths here. I'm going to tell you what they are up front. They're simple. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you they're so simple. Oh, well, that's not deep in the Word of God. Well, you'd be surprised when you start looking at them. The depth of the simple phrases we'll look at as portrayed to us by the cloud. The first thing we're going to look at is that God is for us. The second thing we're going to look at is God is with us. And the third thing we're going to look at, God is in us. Exodus chapter 14, next chapter over, and verse number 19. Remember, they're following the cloud. The cloud was there. Okay, there is the cloud. Let's just walk and follow the cloud. And then notice what happened in verse 19 of chapter 14. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Now, this is significant. They're walking, there's the cloud up in the front. All of a sudden, if you read the preceding verses, we find the enemies coming up on them. The enemies coming upon them. What did God do? They were following the cloud, and all of a sudden, the cloud stopped. And the Bible says it was before their face. Then it went up over them and stood behind them. There was a physical moving of the cloud. And the Bible says here in verse number 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. I stop and think about that. God knew they needed protection. God knew they needed help, and he was there before their face, and was like, hey, look at the cloud. Look at what's going up over them. And come down and stood behind them as a barrier between God's people. And I like that. That's like God saying, you want to get to my people? You got to get through me first. I like that. You want to get to my people? I am there, but you got to an impossible task. And that tells us that God really is for us. He's on our side. And I think that he's there for our protection. He knew that God's people needed protection. And he himself came and stood between God's people and the enemies of God's people. And God is saying, I'm stronger than the enemy, and I'm going to protect you. But I want you to notice a characteristic of this. For the Bible says here in verse 20, it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not the other all the night. It was a cloud of darkness on one side of the enemy, and it was a cloud of light on the other side. People got the same cloud. On this side, it was dark. On this side, it was like, sometimes people say, you know, preacher, I just don't understand this, and I just don't see this, and people will come to church, well, I just don't see what you see about salvation and God and everything. And sometimes folks are on the wrong side of the cloud. You don't see it. It just depends on what side of the cloud you're on, whether you get light or whether you get darkness. You see, that's why the Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world, and we walk in Jesus, we have light to illuminate. And the world says, I don't see it. I don't see it. They're on the wrong side of the cloud. But I have done a lot of preaching on the street, long around 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, Hartford, Connecticut, our state capital. Then a couple of other fellas will go down and we preach on the street, outside the bar rooms and the discotheques as they were closing. And as they were closing, you know, they put on the lights. Isn't it strange? You know, if you're in a store, Walmart or something, and it's getting close to closing time, what do they normally start doing? They start turning off some of the lights. Kind of, hey, we're getting ready to close, you know, make your way and pay for your purchases so we can close the store. They turn off lights to tell people to get out. Isn't it amazing? You go into the bar rooms and discotheques, they're dark when you go in. And when it's over and they want to get people out, they turn the lights on. What? Romans 1 says, men love darkness rather than light. Neither come to the light, so their hidden deeds are not revealed. And so the darkness on one side. So we'd be preaching on the street and folks would come out. And you say, well, preacher, that's pretty brave. Well, not really. The two fellas I went with primarily were really big guys. Matter of fact, one was a bouncer. You know what that is, right? In a bar room or something before he was saved. He was about so he knew the rope. And man, I had those two guys on both my side. I feel I can get pretty brave preaching like that, you know? I got these two guys right there. And that's kind of like how Israel must have felt, that God is for us, God is on our side, and God's protecting us. My dad wasn't born in his country. My dad came from Europe. came to America and he was 15 years old. Couldn't speak English, didn't know a word of English, couldn't write English, couldn't understand English. But he learned it. He said, I'm in America, I want to learn English, I want to be an American. And he was. And I remember year after year I would fill out his green card for him. Okay, Dad, we'll keep you in the country legally another year over here, you know. And when you heard him talk, you could tell that he learned English, but it was broken English. You know what I'm saying here? It wasn't fluent as you and I would talk. And I remember after my daddy got saved, and he was a hard man, hardly saw tears in his eyes ever. Hardly. Hard-working man. And first time I saw tears in his eyes the night he got saved. And pastor came to our house and led him to the Lord, and my daddy was sitting on the couch, and Mom and I were upstairs praying for him with our ear to the floor trying to hear what was going on. And finally the pastor says, Mr. Sousa, Danny, come on down. We come down the stairwell and turn to the left into the living room, and there was my daddy sitting on the couch with tears in his eyes. And he said, tonight, I got a new heart. But I remember when he would pray. We get so many cliches and phrases. You talk about vain repetition sometime. We need to be careful, you know, how we pray. And we just don't fall into patterns, you know. We do something. Lord, thank you for the food we are about to receive. Blessed the nourishment of our bodies and the hands that prepared it. In Jesus' name, amen. Over vain repetition sometimes. But my daddy never learned the cliches and the phrases when he prayed. Now, remember one time he was praying at the dinner table, and my dad would pray like this, God, stay on my side. Stay on my side. We would probably say, Lord, be with us here. And you know, he says, stay on my side. And that's kind of like what God is showing Israel. I'm on your side. I'm here to protect you. You're not alone, Christian. You got a barrier between you and the devil. Job found that out, didn't he? Where the devil couldn't come to Job and touch him with anything unless God gave him permission to do so. And thank God tonight, today anyway, that we have this cloud. So the cloud went from before them up over them and stood behind them. But that's not all. In Numbers chapter number 9, we see again a position of the cloud. In Numbers chapter number 9, and find your way down to verse number 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at evening there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. And so it was always, the cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. When the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tent. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud stood upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And it was so, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And it was so, when the cloud abode from even in the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night, the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it was 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. We saw that God was for them in his protection. But now we see that God was with them to guide them. Here's the picture. God says, when the cloud moves, you move. When the cloud stays put, When it doesn't move, you stay put and don't move. So they had to constantly watch the cloud to see, God, what is your will for today? And when the cloud moved, they were supposed to pick up their belongings and move with the cloud. And the cloud stayed put. They were to rest in their tents, and sometimes it might have been a long time, sometimes up to a year, and they stayed put. And then the cloud, now you could imagine the anxiety this might have caused some of them. Have you ever been in a situation and you said, I don't want to be in this situation. I want to get out of here. Maybe there's a job or something. You say, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. But it seems like God's not doing anything. And I could imagine some people saying, I don't like this place we were at now. I wish that cloud would move. I don't like this neighborhood. And I don't like this. And I don't like the weather over here. And I don't like that. And the cloud doesn't move. Or it could be the other way. Oh, I like this place. Oh, this is the best place we've ever been in. The cloud starts moving. And you said, I just planted the garden, and now I gotta leave it, and we gotta go. I just painted the house, or maybe the tent, up here. And you said, now I gotta go, and this is not... This shows us three ways we could be out of the will of God. They were to watch that cloud. When the cloud moved, they were to move with it here. First of all, they could be out of the will of God when the cloud didn't move, and they did. They said, well, that cloud's not doing anything. God's not going to do it. I'm going to do it myself. And we make our own choices. I recently talked with a young man in our church, bless his heart. And a young man, up in Spire, he's got a wonderful position and a job. And he got offered another job in another faraway state. And more money, better opportunity to grow in the industry. But the cloud wasn't moving in his life. And he come to the conclusion, God wants me here. Why was he going to allow a new job with more money and better opportunity to determine God's will for his life? But that's how we normally do it. Had a fellow in my church, he worked for a household finance company. And he come to our church, he moved into the area, his company moved him into the area. And he said, preacher, I might not be around long, my company has promotions, and with the promotion always comes a move. And so I could be moved out at any time. They were a fantastic family. I mean, just all of them, the father, the mother, the kids. What a blessing our church got involved in tithing and missions and giving and serving and brought people to church, led people to the Lord. Oh, what a blessing, you know. But lo and behold, he comes to me and he says, Brother Susan, I'm up for a promotion. I wasn't too happy about that. I said, well, brother, you pray about it. And he come to me, and a few weeks later he says, well, I prayed about it. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, they offered me the promotion, and I took it. Well, okay, brother. That's God's will for your life. Personally, I felt a loss. You could understand that. And then he looked at me with a big smile and says, yeah, they're moving me from the east end of town to the west end of town. Oh, glory to God. What a blessing. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for your leading, you know. Well, a few years later, he come. He said, preacher, I'm up for a promotion, and this time it will be out of state. If you don't take the promotion, it's as good as being fired. It wasn't optional. So I said, well, okay. Preparing my heart for their leaving and everything. And a few weeks later, he come to me. He said, Pastor, I don't have peace about this. He said, I don't think God wants me to leave the church. I said, really? He said, yes. I turned down the promotion. Now I'm feeling bad. The poor guy's now fired. He's out of a job, you know. And I really felt bad about it. And then he said to me, but I made the right choice. I'm not going to let household finance determine God's will for my life. And he says, I made the right choice. I said, how so, brother? He said, well, they gave me the promotion and keeping me in my current office. See, folks, what I'm trying to say is sometimes we move and God doesn't want us to. God's not in it. It makes sense financially, business-wise, but not spiritually. The first determination on me, what is best for my life and my family spiritually? Well, I won't go any more. We have time. I have to move along. Okay, the first way to be out of God's will is you move, God doesn't move. The second way to be out of God's will is God moves and you don't. The cloud moves and you say, oh, it's not a good time for me to move now. Oh, no, I'm not going to go. And you stay behind and God goes and God's plan goes forth. And you have left the protective program of God to move when God tells you to move. And to do. You say, well, I'm not sure I can handle this. You don't have to handle it because you could do all things through Christ who strengtheneth you. Amen. And sometimes these verses don't come to our mind when we're making these decisions. A third way, and I need to hurry up along here now. A third way to be out of the will of God is that the cloud moves and you say, we're going to move. And you go, why is it going that direction? I know a better way. You ever think you know a better way than God? Who knows best what's best for us? Us or God? Of course, it's the Lord. But sometimes we say, well, I don't know, this is God's way, but I know a better way. And churches do that all the time. I'm not talking about your church. But there are churches around the country doing this all the time. God's way for support of his ministry is through the offering and tithes of God's people. And there are churches that says, well, that's not, we got a better way. We could have car washes and chicken dinners and ice cream socials and raise money that way, you know, for God. You know, that's not God's plan. I was talking with a church that was having a raffle in town for a nice new automobile. And I said, why? What are you doing? He says, well, raising money for the church. I said, isn't your God big enough to provide? You got to have a raffle, got to have a gamble on a ticket to win an automobile. How does God's work get some? Because we give, because, and this is your missions month, and we give because we love the Lord. That's why. And someone once said that the churches that have ice cream socials and chicken dinners are as cold as the ice cream and as dead as the chickens. But we have to be careful that we don't substitute God's plan for another plan. Oh, this is easy. I know a better way, God. I know a shortcut. There's no shortcuts to spirituality, folks. None. And then thirdly, the third thing here we saw, God is for us. He protects us. God is with us to guide us every step of the way. But then we say, lastly, God is in us. Exodus 40. We'll wrap up our Sunday school time. I'm already 2 minutes over. So I'll make up for it in the preaching time and add 2 minutes to that. The philosophy of an evangelist is start early, make up for it by ending late. Exodus chapter 40. We're going to go, and this flows really quick. Exodus chapter 40. We're going to start with verse number 34. See if you see something here in all of these verses. Exodus chapter 40, and notice verse 34, where the Bible says, then a cloud, that's what we're talking about, covered the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode around, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Oh, I would have loved to have seen that. There was a tabernacle. It was filled with the glory of God. And the Bible says Moses wasn't even able to go into. Oh, I pray that we would see God's glory like that among us. I pray that we would see the glory of God in our ministry, in our homes, and in our churches like that. Now, how does something like that happen? Well, we're going to look at a few verses very, very quick. I mean, really machine gun style here. And we're going to look at each one, see if you find a common thread. We won't even read all of the verses, all of the part of the verse, but starting with verse number 16 of Exodus 40. Thus did Moses according to to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. Verse number 19, at the end of the verse, as God commanded Moses. Verse 21, end of the verse, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 23, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 25, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 27, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 29, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 32, as the Lord commanded Moses. You get the point? Before God's glory filled the tabernacle, there was an obedience to God. And that's how the glory of God is seen in our life. I will do as God commands me. Now, a lot of folks don't like that word command. They don't like being told what to do. But you will find no greater direction in your life than that of Almighty God, who knows the end from the beginning and has all power prevailing. The glory of God filled it because Moses was obedient unto him. He did as God commanded him. So may we also do as God commands us. Father and God, thank you for this passage of Scripture, that you are for us, Lord. You stand between us and the enemy, and you protect us. And anything that comes into our life, we could handle because you are the Almighty One. And Lord, we're so thankful that you are with us to guide us and direct us and help us move when you move us. Help us stay when you have us stay, and help us go the direction you want us to go and not our own way. And Lord, may we, as Moses, obey you, that the glory of God would fill this building and the tabernacle of our bodies, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost, given us by God, not ourselves, that we should glorify you in the name of Jesus, and amen. God bless you, folks.